Ball Game on a Rainy Day. Oh, that's the piano and the voice of the Bayou Maharaja, James Booker. We're going to school now with Professor Matthew Goldwasser, this edition of Jazz on Film, thanks to a new documentary about, Matthew, the tortured classic, tortured genius, I guess, is that?
Yeah, and tragic. I mean, his life was full of tragedy, too, but in no way did that diminish the genius of his playing, and by all accounts, he was a genius on the keyboards.
We're posting your essay at KUVO.org. This documentary, Bayou Maharaja, The Tragic Genius of James Booker, directed by Lily Kieber. She used a Kickstarter campaign to tell this story of, what, one of New Orleans' great pianists?
Yeah. Interestingly, she was a bartender in an Algiers bar and hadn't heard of Booker, but started hearing him on the jukebox and got curious about him and started hearing stories from New Orleans people that inspired her to make this film, which was first 3 years in the making and then 3 years trying to secure distribution. Mm-hmm. So we're fortunate that the Kickstarter campaign made it available for all of us.
Well, let's take a clip from the film, the documentary, Bayou Maharaja, The Tragic Genius of James Booker, and the actor Hugh Laurie. This from Bayou Maharaja.
There was nothing better than Booker in a grand piano. He didn't need anybody else.
He's making connections all the time, musical connections and emotional connections, and heading in directions that other people it just wouldn't occur to them to do. Joy and wit and intelligence and sheer bloody mayhem. This music you put under the word jazz is America's greatest gift to the world.
He was a storm. A storm of pianicity.
It's really hard to wrap your head around him, but as I wrote in the essay, think of Ray Charles doing Rachmaninoff, doing Errol Garner at a Mexican bar, banging out calypso beats in a gospel time.
Wow.
And that gets close to what you hear when Booker plays.
Yeah, amazing player. You know, one thing about Booker was you never knew what he was going to play. Even if he started off melodically with a tune that you recognized, somewhere through the middle of it, as just described, would go off in a whole different direction. We don't know where he would end up.
Tell your Booker story. You saw him.
Well, yeah, I did see Booker in my very first visit to New Orleans in 1983, 3 weeks before he died, in the Maple Leaf, which was the hang for James Booker on Monday nights if he showed up. I was lucky.
Okay.
I was lucky.
Right.
I was getting ready to leave town on Tuesday, and on Monday night I went to the Maple Leaf, and sure enough, the bartender said, just hang around. He may be here. He may show up. And he did. Dressed to the nines,
yeah.
And I was introduced to him, and of course, he said, buy me a drink. So I did, and which allowed me to sit and talk to him for no more than about a minute, because I turned my head to acknowledge somebody else saying something, and when I turned back, he was gone, and I could hear the piano in the next room,
and so just piano,
yeah, he just played by himself, upright piano.
So Matthew, as a film, how does Bayou Maharaja tell the story of this? This comet across the sky.
Well, I mean, we get the biography of his life. We get interviews with people who knew him well and people who knew him in passing, both musicians and non-musicians. We get absolutely spectacular archival footage of old New Orleans, and we get extraordinary concert footage, both stateside and across Europe. Oftentimes documentaries don't give you a lot of music. This one gives you a whole lot of music.
Yeah, well, that's the only way you can really understand this man through his music. If you're going to make a documentary about James Booker, you better have a lot of music.
The footage from those concerts in Europe, which were so well documented, and so much of his recording work was done there when it was kind of haphazard in the States, he was really revered in Europe. Maybe it was his classical chops, but great footage.
Yeah, pretty extraordinary stuff. And again, that adds to the tragedy. Here was a guy who was incredibly revered and regarded in Europe, playing in big halls with great pianos, and when he comes back to the States, he can barely get a gig. Wound up working as a typist for City Hall.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Harry Connick Jr. connection was always interesting, mm-hmm. because Booker was always in trouble, and Harry's dad, Harry Sr., was the district attorney. And so when they take him up in front of the judge, they'd already make a deal and said, just release him to me. And he wouldn't give him jail time. He'd just make sure Harry Jr. got piano lessons at Harry Sr.'s house.
Interesting stories of New Orleans connections.
Yeah, the other thing that we want to say is, I mean, he was a weird guy, and there were so many outrageous stories in this film about him, sort of larger than life, that your jaw just sort of drops hearing one after another.
How did he lose his left eye?
Yeah, he wore an eye patch over his left eye, and in the film there are at least 12 different versions of how that happened, from, you know, accidents to something involved with Jackie Kennedy or Ringo Starr.
Or the time in Angola.
Yeah.
Angola State Penitentiary. He was called the Piano Prince. He was called the Black Liberace. Loved his candelabra. He's called the Emperor of the Ivories. James Booker profiled in Bayou Maharaja, directed by Lily Kieber. And available?
Yeah, you can rent this off of Netflix and from Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And you can buy your own copy on Amazon, and I think there's some other places that are selling it.
Bayou Maharaja.
I think actually here in town, Twist and Shout has a copy of it.
Hmm. Okay. I'm going to stand back and watch how you guys figure out which of the dozen Booker songs we're going to play.
let's just the Piano Salad set this one up.
Yeah, Piano Salad gives you just a short glimpse into the encyclopedic knowledge that his fingers and his mind had on the keyboards.